All right, this is Whiskey Alpha 2 Alpha X-Ray Zulu for the K2 IRT, New York City Transit Amateur Radio Club. K2 IRT is heard on this frequency every Thursday night from 8 to 9 o'clock. And again, you don't have to be a member of New York City Transit, the subway, or the buses to join in. Just check in and join in the roundtable. Name here is Lobi, Larry Oscar Bravo Yankee. And we'll be running the K2 IRT net tonight, so we'll stand by for a second and see if we have any check-ins. This is K2 IRT.
WB2YZX.
WB2YZX. And how are you, Charlie? What's up with you today?
I just recovering from a miserable day, actually a miserable week at work. Just had a new job pick go into effect last week, and it's just been a total disaster. Spent 3 hours on the phone with Unisys today. You don't want to know. It's been a rough week all around.
The moment you said uselessist, not Unisys, uselessist, I know where you've been. We've been trying to work with those people for a long time. And I got to tell you, for the past 10 years, I've been trying to get them to change my phone number on the Internet, because when they do the TA Internet, they're using my phone number from 12 years ago. Now that I'm getting ready to retire, they may fix the number.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's yesterday they're doing this. They just had a remap one of my drives. I was over J Street. The guy takes control of the computer, so you can see him moving his mouse and everything. And he keeps typing the wrong thing in, and I'm telling the guy, I think he's in Calcutta or whatever. He said, "No, you're putting in the wrong thing." I said, "Want me to do it?" He said, "No." And it doesn't work. Well, I'll have to bump this up. I said, "You're just typing the wrong thing in. You're typing the wrong thing." I type like I do. Oh, my God. I went back and forth for hours. And I try to keep my cool, you know, but, you know, you get more bees with honey than vinegar, but, you know, sometimes I'm just chewing on a pencil and no, I'm ready to swallow that thing because of all this. Oh, man. Because we had all these new computers and everything, and, you know, it's a hassle and a half, so it's going to take weeks to figure this out.
All right, WB2YZX and the K2IRT group here. Well, I got to tell you, I talk with Unisys. Unisys calls me up because you see how many computers we have up on the power control floor. And every once in a while they call up and there's another group of computers that have to be changed out. And I give them specific orders and I tell them, if it's got Windows Vista in it, I'm not letting you into the building. And they know not to cross my threshold. They tried it once and believe it or not, I'm the only person that had the Kuljons, I think is the term. I threw them out of the building. Oh, what a brouhaha. That went all the way up and down the line, but I had to stand my ground. Back to you, Charlie, and we'll open it up for more check-ins.
All right, it's just us for now, I guess. Well, I have this on. I have two computers. Well, actually, I have a bunch of computers here, but it's my two main computers. One has his XP and... the other one has Vista. I really have no trouble with Vista. Once I put more RAM in this silly thing, it really came to life. But I've heard all kinds of horror stories. And they're coming out with a new operating system, I think, which is simply a fix of all the things that were wrong with Vista. But who the heck knows? Yeah, the trouble I'm having also was over at J Street, I do a lot of database design with Microsoft Access. That's one of the little extracurricular activities they give me. But now you get problems between the different versions of Access. They're not all compatible. And, you know, this computer works on this one and on this one, but not this one and on this one. And, you you know, they drive me crazy with this. Plus, I got all new people. I even got a couple of job spots that aren't full because no one liked the RZOs. And out of my mind, I'm back and forth between Broadway and J Street all the time. So enough of my problems.
Let's give you a chance to cool off and see if we have anybody else out there for the K2IRT group. Come on in. So, Charlie, I think they're all eating dinner. They're all eating dinner. Well, I had a fun time the past couple of days. I'm at my Jeep there, and I'm minding my own business. Last Saturday, I think, it was pouring rain. And I was taking a ride out to Jersey City to visit a couple people. And I noticed on the dashboard the little compass, the little LED that shows the compass setting, was dark. And I says, ah, here we go. That's the first thing to go on the Jeep. So what I do is I get out there and I turn the Jeep off, get back in later, and it lights up again. Oh, that's good. Well, it's back. It's pointing to the east. So I take it for a ride, and no matter where I pointed the car, north, south, east, or west, the thing would get stuck on east and stay there. I think it converted to Islam. It just wanted to bow down to Mecca all the time. So got home, and I unplugged it. I actually pulled the actual transducer out of the Jeep, stuck it on the kitchen table, and sat it there for a day, just in case. Anything's possible. I plugged the little beastie in tonight, and the thing seems to be working again. Maybe a little too much RF in the Jeep. I don't know about that. We'll have to see. But other than that, oh, geez, the phone is ringing. Let me find out who that is. I'll be right back.
Station check again. You're kind of noisy, not quite making the repeater. Want to try again? I guess not. This is WB2YZX with WA2AXZ for the K2IRT net. Would anyone else like to check in? Anybody anywhere?
WA2AXZ is back at you there. All right. I see the emails going back and forth from Wally and the gang for Sunday. And not only the Sunday, but what we're talking about now is a backup to the backup. You know, the Hamels is going to be rebuilt, supposedly rebuilt with a new roof and new walls sometime this spring. But you know how the TA contracts are. I'm just sort of hoping it doesn't bleed over until late May and June, because if it does, it is going to put a dent in the field day. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, what's the worst thing that can happen? Can we still use Montague Furman?
Yeah, Montague is wide open. You can use even Pierpont. But our big backyard is gone, so whatever we have to do is going to be limited to what we can throw out on the roof. So, now, there's always a plan B. Wally's working on a plan C. If we can find the third alternate site somewhere, we may decide to throw it out there, but we have to find out exactly where. But like everything else, first things first. I know how the TA is, and I know how their contracts are. And if they're actually talking about doing something in the spring, we're not going to see them do anything in Hamels for another 2 years. This is K2IRT.
Well, that's really good. Yeah, well, Montague Furman isn't so bad. If we can't use Hamels, I would go with that. I mean, what the heck? I mean, we don't have to move the tower and the beam and everything over there. I'd be just as happy with dipoles and verticals for one day. In fact, you know, it's that's perfectly okay with me, and I think that'd be okay with most people also. I mean, if somebody wants to put a Wally's famous marks on, that's fine with me too, but you go crazy with this.
Hey, we got R for W Mobile. How you doing?
know where you are, but you're breaking up something fierce. You're breaking up something fierce. I don't know which one you're on, the 2 meter or the 440. And 2RW
still with us?
All right.
Must be in a dead spot there, Charlie. We'll have to see.
Well, but just getting back to the dipoles and the wires, I'd be perfectly happy with that. Throw the vertical up. I've never had a problem throwing verticals up. I can go anywhere with that. So we'll see what we're going to do. We have a little time to play with it. And, again, I'm not killing myself. Bad enough we got that tower in the TA-33 over there. We'll get that beastie down, and we'll worry about that another time, man. Let me stop for a second, see if N2ROW came back. You still with us, Rich? Well, he was on a handheld and the battery keeled over there. This is the K2IRT, New York City Transit Amateur Radio Club, meeting here every Thursday night from 8 to 9 o'clock. Don't have to be a member, just check in and join the round table. You got WA2AXZ here for the K2IRT. Come on in.
Hello, Charles.
It looks like it's just going to be you and me for a little bit. I don't know if Steve is running any vintage trains. I don't think the Yankees are playing here tonight. I think they're playing down in Las Vegas, Nevada, or Los Angeles, something like that.
KB2, checking.
D, is that correct?
Hotel Zulu Echo, KB2HZ, name is Tom.
Welcome aboard.
Tom, how you doing?
Where's this machine located, please?
This one used to be located in downtown Brooklyn. N2ROW, the repeater operator, is on frequency, but he's breaking up. I'd have to ask him exactly where it is.
Yeah, I'm looking at 100%. I'm in Frog's Neck in the Bronx with 1.5 watts.
Doing good.
Down near Floyd Bennett Field in Brooklyn here, all the way down at the tip of Flatbush Avenue.
W2C. All right, thank you for the info. 7-3. KB2H, any clear? I'm listening.
All right, Tom, you have a good night there. And again, we're going to try to pick up ROW. ROW, I think we hear you out there, but whatever it is, it's breaking up. It's just barely making the machine.
You're staying out in the Connecticut area. That was a washout too there.
Well, as you get closer, try checking in from time to time there, and hopefully you'll be able to put in a bigger signal here, and we'll be able to hear you much better. WB2YZX. Charlie, what else do you have on the table there? Anything interesting? Do any more radio work there, the satellite, etc.?
WA2AX, WB2YZX. Actually, been seeing both satellites, it seems. The conditions are so crummy, I have to rely on the artificial propagation. So, I thought by now things would improve. Doesn't seem to be the case. But, while you guys were talking, I just, I thought they were having database problems, and Unisys couldn't seem to fix them and everything, but, I kept getting this one particular error message, make a long story short, but I found the answer on the internet, and, this solves all my problems. I really hit pay dirt with this, so kind of a Microsoft Access bug, and which nobody could seem to fix, but I just got it. So now, tomorrow, I can have a decent day at work, but what would we do without computers, right?
I agree, but is it only a fix that applies to the access going into Vista, or is it a general bug?
It's a compatibility thing, you know. I can write, I created this a database in Access, Access 95, I think. It's an inventory program for my Sorrel. And it was, and then Access 97 came out, and I converted it to that. And then I converted it to Access 2000, and I got some machines are Access 2000, some are 2003. And it will work on some machines and not others because of that. And, you know, I've been Googling this since I got home from work, and I just found what I need, and it works perfectly. So, I'm a happy man right now. It has nothing to do with Vista or anything like that. It's just different versions of Access.
All right. Yeah, because I have a couple of guys that are over at the museum, Joe Cunningham and the like, and they went out and they picked up the new computer with the Vista in it. And there's two different Vistas. I think there's home Vista and office Vista. And he picked up the home Vista. It will not even let him open up files. It won't let him open up files, won't let him open up Access, won't let him do a damn thing. Because he has to upgrade to a different version of a Vista. And it's a pain, too, because we send photographs back and forth to ID different things. He can't even open up a simple JPEG file on Vista. Because God knows what's going on. All I know is that my computer that I'm looking at right now, and there it is. It's a Hewlett Packard sitting on the wall there. It keeled over and died. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all the parts out of it. I'm going to just loosely pack the case, and I'm going to have one more throw off the balcony to increase morale at work. I think everyone will be very happy when I do that. And then it's time for a new one. And I'll buy a nice new computer. The guys will put one together for me. And it's going to have the last edition of Windows XP because I can't kill anything on XP because I do a lot of Microsoft Publisher work. Word, tremendous amount of Word work, and very little Excel and Access. You know, once in a blue moon I do something in that, but that's about it. But I do a lot of publishing between all the work on ham radio, the 72 CHU, the 1721 group, and I need all those good programs to keep it going. Again, this is K2IRT, New York City Transit Amateur Radio Group. If anyone wants to check in, come on in now.
All right, Lobie, I guess it's still you and me. But, you know, the thing about computers, I love them. I had a computer long before most people. I mean, I had a closet full of, you know, I go back to the Commodore VIC-20 and Radio Shack and even Timex Sinclair days. So, you know, I've been playing with them for a long time. And as much as I like them, I mean, let's face it, if you don't really, you know, unless you're very good, you come across problems, like you're talking about opening a file and whatnot, this sort of thing. You could maybe train you how to use them, but, you know, you're always going to encounter things that you can't fix. And I feel sorry for a lot of people. I mean, if you don't really understand a lot about it, if your computer just dies on it, if it goes into the safe mode or something like that, you're up the creek. And I'm pretty good at getting out of stuff like that, but I really feel sorry for some people. I just see how frustrating it is when you know just a very basic battering of computers. I mean, I go through this work all the time. People always ask me stuff. This won't work, that don't work. It's not even my job, but, you know, I'm always getting stuck with that too. But, what are you going to do? So, I don't know if the ball game on tonight or now, whatever. I'm in the football mode now anyway. I don't know.
K2IRT, WA2AXZ, and WB2YZX. Well, I tell you, since Pittsburgh ain't in it, maybe I'll watch the Philadelphia Flyers or Phillies or whatever they're called there. I'll go for the Pennsylvania teams because that's home. I'll stay with them. But other than that, I'll probably watch the last game of the World Series. I can't sit through these baseball games and football games. I said, it's nice, you know, my behind hurts after about 15 minutes and I got to get up and do things. Can't sit all day. But, I was at 2 Broadway today, by the way. I brought a truckload of stuff to the archives on the 20th floor. And every time I go there, they got big smiles on their faces. Oh, good, more stuff. And I bring them juicy tidbits and books and articles and historic manuals and prints. And we're going to set up an ice power exhibit one day. But at least over the past 40 years, I've had a chance to find this stuff, squirrel it away so it wouldn't get lost, and now we'll definitely give it a good home. So, other than that, Jimmy Mazzaro... Jimmy Mazzaro, it's the other guy that works with me up in the office. His dad used to be the chief electrical officer, 20 years ago. The fellow passed away just 2 days ago, and everybody was in funeral mode. But on October 30th, Jimmy and I are going to go hand-in-hand. That doesn't sound right, but we're going to go hand-in-hand down to NYSA's and put our papers in. And then there's another two that are going to bite the dust. They said, we don't know who's going to run the place. And we're trying to teach the caretaker. And that's the guy that's very good with the mop. WB2YZX and the K2IRT group. Let's see if Rich is still with us. ROW is still around. Yeah, we know you're out there. You're hitting it for a little bit, and then you're dropping it out, Rich. You copy me and out there, but all we're getting is you're kicking the repeater in and a lot of hash. There's just no audio in that.
Hi, Bridgeport, Connecticut. There you go, VHF. On 12523, Bridgeport, Connecticut.
You're on your way. Okay, that was crystal clear now.
I go through all the repeaters. I know one of them I had hit. you guys carry on. I'm in construction roadway here. I gotta keep an eye out. But thank you. I'm 2ROW mode.
You're out for you there. Be safe driving. That 95 is a crazy road there.
Again, this is K2IRT, New York City Transit. Going to see if the regulars are out there. KF2WR or W2FBR. Andy or Steve, are you on the frequency listening? We're going to have to go knock on some door there, Charlie. This is something. We were talking about field day before. I still have the antenna on the roof of 53rd Street, and we're definitely going to have to talk to Andy. If Andy is going to mosey on into 53rd Street, if he's going to use it at all. If not, I'll take that thing down, and that'll be our That'll be our third spare. Our third spare Hustler 5B TV vertical we'll put on the side. I'll tell you, I got nothing against verticals. I've had a lot of fun with them. I'd love, though, to get a 160-meter vertical, something that I can push the full 600 watts of the Ameritron into, because I get on every night, and everyone hears me. No problem hearing me. I'm always above the noise level, but it would be nice to have something a little bit bigger. Maybe like the WOR tower in Secaucus, go ahead.
Yeah, no, to me, I envy these guys that have the many, many acres of land or live on a mountain or something, but I've never had an outside antenna over 40 years on the air, and it really hasn't slowed me down much. I have as much fun as the next guy, but, there's still that part of me that would like to have a big gun. And, in fact, when I first moved into this place, I said, ham radio is out the window except for just the repeaters and whatnot. But I was amazed at what you could do with, even the crummiest of antennas indoors. So, like I said, I was slowed it down too much. As far as field day, we can just keep it simple this year, just use dipoles. And rather than go through that hassle at the end of the day of tearing everything down, I would say just tear down the wires, keep the coax, and throw the antennas in the garbage. And then maybe we could even operate a little longer and go home without collapsing on the couch.
But even with simple dipoles, you can leave those things up and we can always come back and get them. And we do have the ability of stringing it between the substations across that empty lot. That's if the empty lot's going to be there. They've done so much waterfront construction down there. They took down all the buildings on the waterfront. They closed up the roadway. And that little community garden that went to pot between the two substations, that's loaded at least one story tall with cobblestones. They dug up cobblestones from God knows where. And there's a mountain of them in there. So if you ever wanted to, pave your kitchen with cobblestones, they're all down there. K2IRT.
Well, that's interesting. I'll check it out next time I go to work to come home on a ferry. I can get a pretty good view of those two spots from there. I haven't really noticed the last few days. Maybe we could use the cobblestones for maybe stick a mast in the middle of it or something.
We'll put a Molly special up. I always love the things that he comes up with, and one day we'll put one up and actually use it for field day. And it's got to work. He makes these great, great looking antennas there. I still say they're boxons or whatever. Look like a spider web in the air, but to me they just seem so fragile that if it gets caught in the wind or anything, this is going to go flying off like an umbrella upside down. Got to be some way of stiffening it up and putting it on a decent rotor to make the thing work, and it would be good if we can get it directional with one of those things on 20 meters. 20 meters is the hot band for the CW and the sideband. 40 and 80 meters, of course, we can always use the wires. The wires are pretty much the best on that. And God knows, I've been getting all the propagation reports every couple of days from ARRL. And they haven't seen a sunspot in so long, they're pretending they're up there. They're going to start painting it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I occasionally watch some EX, but, I mean, I worked Denmark a couple of times in the last few weeks, but, you know, at the noise level, I was using, using digital modes, and if I tried to make the same contact on site, then it'd be just no way. But, I don't know. Maybe it's just send some kind of a missile up to the sun or something, and maybe shake things up or whatever. But yeah, like I said, I've never seen it this bad for so long. But that's okay. There's other things to do, and I have just as much fun talking to somebody in Brooklyn as someone on the other side of the world. WD2AXZ WD2YZX.
But it's more fun talking to someone on the phone at a help desk somewhere in the Alps of Bangladesh somewhere. Well, thank you for calling Microsoft. I am very, very pleased to help you. I always knew we were going downhill when I called up the U.S. Mint, because I'm a coin collector, and the Mint, the United States Mint, moved their customer service to India. Well, thank you very much for calling the U.S. Mint. I said, we're really in deep doo-doo now. I know this. I know the country is bad. There's no work. There's no manufacturing. Hell, they're even starting to put the base up of the World Trade Center, the new tower over there. And we don't have a steel mill anywhere in America that could make the beams. So they had to import all the beams and the heavy steel work from Europe and Belgium. So you talk about a slap in the face of America. And if they don't wake up, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting. Oh, well, I'm not going to worry too much. As they say, the end of the world is December 21st, 2012. Why worry? WB2YZX. This is the K2IRT group.
WHCDL, hello.
Hey, how you doing? Oh, how you doing, Andy? What's up?
I'm up. Just came on. I'm in the car. Heading over to get some orange juice. Listening to the Yankees game in the background. Hopefully they'll pull it out, and they're losing right now. Keep my fingers crossed that they win. If they don't, it's not a total loss, but they'll come back to New York and win there. So they still have a good shot, even if they lose. I'd like to see him win. And, yeah, what's this I hear about 2012? Everybody makes predictions, the world's coming to an end, and everything else. I guess I'm not too concerned about it, because it's only a prediction. I mean, there are things that are happening. But I will say that you're right about the country itself not backing their own products and their own source of and it is frustrating that when you make a call and you find that there's a long delay between you talking to them and they're talking to you because the signal is traveling on the other side of the world. And then when you ask where you're calling, they do say India or some foreign place. And you say, wait a minute, but I'm here in the States and I bought a United States product. And so I looked underneath and it said made in you know where. So that's the way it is, I guess, by now. Lovely, back to you. How you doing?
Right, Andy. WA2CDLWA2AXZ in the K2IRT group. Yeah, doing pretty good. Got a little note on the internet. I don't know if it was from Rich or one of the other guys. But apparently somewhere on the internet, a service advisory, a warning was put out on Pyrex dishes. Could be a hoax, but nothing surprises me anymore with what happens out in the world. Apparently, Pyrex used to be the proud subsidiary of Corning. And even Corning now started diversifying, and they started dumping a lot of their brands overseas. And when you had a Corning product from about 20 years ago, especially the Pyrex, it was a solid glass dish, and you can cook it, bake it, microwave it, you know, take a Prismatic torch to it, and this thing would hold up. And it was made out of a special, what they call a borosilicate glass, some kind of a sand glass mixture there that made it high temperature. Well, apparently, Pyrex isn't made in America anymore. It's made you know where. It's made where the dim sun shines. And what happens? They change the formula of Pyrex from the borosilicate to like an inferior grade of glass. And what's happening, it's developing micro cracks in it. And there are times that when you have a dish in the oven or a dish in the microwave, the thing just blows up and shatters into a thousand pieces. So it may not be true, but I wouldn't be surprised. WA2CDL and the K2IRT group, WA2AXE.
That's interesting, Lobi. By the way, I'm at a dairy barn here. Yes, we do have dairy barns in Long Island. I gotta get some stuff. And that's very interesting and kind of scary when you think about it. Because like you say, Pyrex was famous. The name, if you knew that it had the Pyrex name, then you knew that you could change its temperature and it won't react. In fact, Pyrex was famous in chemistry labs. They made beakers and test tubes. And stand by 1 second, I'll be right back.
As Andy goes through Dairy Barn, you know, I'm going to ask him this question there. I used to live out in Baldwin and we had a Dairy Barn. And Dairy Barn used to have glass containers for the milk. And he used to bring the glass half-gallon containers back and forth. I just wonder if Dairy Barn still has that.
Everything is plastic. Stand by. I'm just going to pay my bill and I'll be right back.
That's a shame. Even they cheapened it. But I tell you, there was nothing like getting a cold, ice-cold glass of milk from the glass container. No plastic flavor, no wax flavor, the flavor from the carton. Oh, that was good. That's years ago when I drank milk. Now I'm on a Guinness diet. All right, Andy, hold on 1 second. Let me bring Charlie in again, WB2YZX, and then we'll see if Rich ROW is still there. WB2YZX.
All right, very good, and good evening to Andy there. And I was watching something on, Discovery History Channel not long ago about the end of the world in 2012. Now, if I knew for certain that was going to happen, I would not go to work tomorrow, or any other day for that matter. But I would apply for a lot more credit cards, and now let's put it this way: you wouldn't see me at work again. That's for sure. Back to you, Lobi.
I know that. Every couple of years, there's another cult or another thing that comes out of the woodwork saying the end of the world is here. They started that hundreds of years ago, and every few years, another group comes out. And I think it was a big one back in the 1880s, 1890s. The end of the world was going to be at such and such a day, and everybody went to the mountaintop, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and I think after the third day passed, they said, never mind, and they disbanded. So we'll see what happens. Nobody knows, and you know something? They don't care. If it ends, how? What does Scrooge say? Let it happen and decrease the surplus population. You got WA2AXE and the K2IRT group. Let's see if Rich is still with us. ROW, how we doing driving?
radio.
Rich isn't there. He must be in another dead spot. No, Andy, they don't have glass anymore, huh?
I remember when they had glass, milk and orange juice and everything else. Nope. Looks like they don't have paper bags in grocery stores. Everything is a plastic bag. You know, it's got to be biodegradable. McDonald's doesn't have the styrofoam containers that they used to have to keep their hamburgers in. You know, everything is, again, it's got to be recycled, biodegradable, and everything else. And the list goes on and on. Batteries. There's an interesting subject you could talk about. How do you dispose batteries? And what is the right way to dispose of them? The NiCads, the cadmium, the lithium ion batteries, and even the ordinary dry cell. That's something, and car batteries, the lead acid battery. You know, there's an interesting topic for a tech net or something. I just got into the driveway. But, I can go on and tell you, anything. And I forgot, what was I saying before when I went into the dairy barn, because I forgot already. That's the way my mind is working lately. I was talking about something. Just refresh my memory quickly. What was I saying in dairy barn, and I said, stand by, be right back. What was that subject again?
You were talking about the Pyrex. You were talking about the test tubes and everything else.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, my father was a high school chemistry teacher, and he brought home to me when I was young, when I was little, a chemistry set, and some test tubes, and some beakers, and petri dishes, and other things from the chemistry lab, and I remember them all saying Pyrex on it, and it was just a name that everybody knew. You knew if it was Pyrex. He brought home a Bunsen burner, and I used the Bunsen burner under the test tube to make the chemical that I wanted to make, and so on. And the test tube said Pyrex on it, and you knew. So, like you say, can you trust what you see anymore? I don't know. And that's, again, it's kind of scary. You really don't know. Anyway, I can go on, and I won't hold it. I'm going to go inside, watch the Yankee game, and relax. Tomorrow I'll be back down below ground, home away from home. Well, be nice seeing you again. We'll talk soon. WHCDL.
All right, Andy. You have a good night there, and we'll catch you again. Yeah, we're always around. So we'll turn it over to Charlie now, WB2YZX. Before we do, let's just see if anyone else wants to check in. This is K2IRT. Nothing here. Hey, Charlie, looks like it's going to be a short night for all of us. And, let's see what else we're going to do here. I had 160 on before. Tom out in Ohio went through a storm. He runs a wire dipole for 160, and it took down one of the legs of the dipole. So I haven't been hearing him much above the noise level. He hasn't given up, though. He's still out there. Let's turn the thing on and see if he's actually there. Back to you, WB2YZX.
Okay, very good. And, Andrew was mentioning batteries, proper way to dispose of them, but if the world is in fact coming to an end in 3 years, you know, what the heck, just throw them in the ocean, you know. I mean, the heck with the environment, it won't make any difference anyway, you know. So, that's a big hassle I have to deal with on my job, because I get all these batteries I pull out of fire alarm systems and PA systems and whatnot. We got to dispose of them and everything. And it's a hassle. It's harder to get rid of stuff than it is to get stuff sometimes, because you can't. This type of battery goes this place. This type of battery goes another place. And even if you're cleaning something out, you know, you got to get a dumpster for the wood, a dumpster for the copper, a dumpster for the lead. You know, they drive you crazy with this stuff here. What can I tell you? But you know where we work, so I don't have to tell you. I don't have to explain to you, Logan. You've been there a lot longer than I have. WA2AX, ZWB2YZX.
All right. Well, Tom is out there. Ed is out there on 160-1871, so I'll catch them in a little bit. I'll fire up the amplifier for a little bit. Yeah, matter of fact, then he used to just take a fluorescent bulb and break it up in a garbage can and walk away in the basement of Substation 13. That's the dumping ground for the fluorescent, the old fluorescent tubes. And we have these special cardboard containers stamped used fluorescent bulbs. And when we get a full load, then they have to call the decontamination unit, and it charges how many thousands and thousands of dollars for the TA to get rid of it. Our guys were running around 53rd Street, and we've got the emergency lights, the backup lights. And each one's got a little 6 or a 12-volt lead-acid battery, quite a few dozen of them. And every year we go through about 20 batteries, depending on which lights, which critical lights we have to change. Well, they just did a battery dump of 20 batteries, and they had to go to a special location to get rid of the lead-acid cells. So everything is recycling. It wouldn't be bad if they made the price, because they're making big money. They're making big money on the recycling. Of course, the TA pays an arm and a leg, and we see nothing for it. And it's just amazing that they can't find some way of recovering some of that material. And I know on lead acid batteries they do. Tremendous amount of lead and other materials in there, and those things are melted down and they just recycle them back up to batteries again or whatever they need lead for. No, we don't use them on cable anymore. Alright, well, let's see if Rich is out there. If not, I think we'll put a cap on and I'm going to go downstairs and get myself a nice Italian ice, a red one this time. It'll probably be the last one of the year. And two, ROW. Rich, you still with us?
Got
some there, Charlie. So, anything else before we run away, as they say in Monty Python?
Yeah, while we're on the subject of lead, I was reading an article not long ago about lead-free solder. Regular 6040 solder was banned in Britain, except for the military. And the reason is they're finding that after almost 100 years of radios and TVs and VCRs and electronic stuff being dumped into landfills, the lead from the solder is getting into their water table. And who the thunk? I mean, they don't have the kind of water resources we don't. And a lot of the manufacturers are up in arms because soldering things with lead-free solder is a lot more difficult. And the failure rate on electronic stuff has gone up like 400%. But I find that kind of interesting. But whatever. That's enough for me, I guess. And I guess we're on for the weekend, so I'm available, I guess. Andy will get a hold of me or my email, Nextel, whatever. So I have nothing else. So good night to you, Lobby. WA2AX, ZWB2YZX.
All right, that B2YZX and the K2IRT group, WA2AXZ. Yeah, I know. Ever since they got the lead-free solder, it's more tin than anything else. Tin and something else. And it takes a much higher heat. And, putting wires together, you have to wait a little longer for the thing to heat up. The only problem is that if you're doing a fine electronic component, don't say that dirty word heat. You'll French fry whatever it's connected to. Well, listen, I've been in England and their water is nothing to talk about. They're drinking the Thames. So, that's why I had one drink of water and then I went back to the Guinness. Charlie, have a great night. We got WA2AXZ here, and I want to thank everybody who at least listened in and was part of the group tonight. I'm going to QSY to 160 meters. 1871. If anyone wants to stop by the good old 1721 group. Charlie, have a good one. We'll catch you tomorrow. We'll be doing emails back and forth.
All right, take it easy. I'll be talking to you. WB2 YZX is clear.